The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. China, Russia, lions, and bears, oh my. That's right. It's Russia, China, lions, and bears, oh my. A lot is going on, and we have to deal with it. And again, never seems to be a good case scenario. Things continue to escalate. Things continue to look like bad things are going to happen. And, well, I'll give you the latest as much as I can. So let's just jump right into it and not wait around. So Frank Gaffney had Representative Bob Good on, and they were talking about all of these dangers. As always, we're facing a lot of different dangers. Let's just jump right into it. Take a listen.
Well, I believe the debt is, along with the border, the two greatest existential threats to our country. It seems that we don't have the true resolve to deal with those two tremendous threats. You know, I could also list, a bunch of other great threats to the country, but the debt and the border, I think, are the two greatest threats, the greatest issues of the day. And it's where I spend most of my time. As you know, we've got near $35 trillion in debt now, more than $100,000 per U.S. citizen. We're adding about $1 trillion every 4 months or so. It's snowballing so fast. As you know, it's caused 40-year high inflation, 20-year high interest rates. And unfortunately, the Republican Party has not stood in the gap and said, no, not on our watch during the 14 months that we've had the majority. As evidenced by, we expect tomorrow to vote to pass a 1,000-page minibus, half of an omnibus, that will keep in place the Biden, Pelosi, Schumer policies that we ran against, campaigned against, that are destroying the country. And worse yet, or equally as bad, will actually increase spending by some $60 billion over the Pelosi, Schumer levels that we inherited. And Frank, members are going to vote for this apparently without even being able to read it, because we just got bill text this morning. We're going to vote on it tomorrow. And it seems that so many are just determined to vote for it, irrespective of what it contains, regardless of how harmful the policies are, just so I guess they can go home tomorrow and maybe go do a fundraiser or whatever else they want to do back in their district, or go on their CODEL congressional delegation trips or what have you. And the American people will lose once again, just on the debt piece, not to mention the border, which we can talk about.
Yeah, just on the debt piece, but why do our politicians think that our people in the Republican Party are so dumb that they don't understand what's really going on? They can't pull this over our eyes. The threat of what they are doing financially to America, how are we going to ever survive this? I mean, if you look down the road, where do we see an off-ramp? And the other question is, have we already gone too far? And I believe we've already gone too far, which is very scary. But let's go back to Frank Gaffney, and let's see what they had to say, because there's a lot. There's a lot to cover here. I'll give you as much as I can. Take a listen.
Well, just staying with the debt for a moment, sir. It's almost incomprehensible that what you said is happening. $1 trillion added to the deficit every 4 months. Clearly, you don't have to be an economist or a member of the budget committee to realize that that is unsustainable.
That's right. Indeed, it is. And speaking of the budget committee, we just had a hearing today with Biden's budget director. And that sounds kind of funny that he would have a budget director, because obviously he doesn't do any budgeting. And we brought her in to talk with her about the president's just released budget. And as you probably saw, he has $4 trillion more spending than he did even in last year's record high proposed budget that he had. And he projects to take the debt, he projects to take the debt from $35 trillion to $52 trillion over 10 years to run $2 trillion deficits every year. But when I asked the budget director, who was coming to talk about the president's budget, I mean, that's why the appointment, the hearing was scheduled. When I asked her what the debt would be under the president's proposed budget, now that's not with new supplemental or emergency or extra spending, just the proposed budgetary spending, she couldn't or wouldn't tell me how much it was going to be. And I said, and she tried to give a speech when I said, no, I'm just asking for a math question. It's a number. What's the debt going to be based on the president's proposal? That's how out of touch, whether it's incompetence or malicious disregard, we could argue what it might be, this administration is, who thinks it's maybe monopoly money. It doesn't count. And so the Democrats are predominantly at fault, but Republicans must say, not on our watch. We control one house. We control the power of the purse, and we're not going to continue to fund this.
Yeah, but they're not doing that. They're allowing the Democrats to do whatever they want. And like the title of my show, China, Russia, Lions, and Bears, oh my, because we're facing so much more than just this. This is just part of it. This is more of the behind-the-scenes financial collapse of America. And when you add together what's really happening with Russia's plan, China's plan, and remember, it's their plan, and it's all been put together. The FBI has told us straight out, these guys are all in cahoots with each other. And like, we don't need the FBI to tell us that. We already know that, but still. We're facing an immense enemy here. Here's more.
Yeah, amen. From your lips to God's ears. You know, I have to be honest. I may be a little cynical about this, but I think the reason they can't give you a number is they're going to spend whatever it takes to try to buy votes.
That's right.
Across this country.
Indeed.
And what's going on with some of these debt forgiveness packages for student loans and public employees and all manner of other things is just exemplary of that. Quickly, sir, just mm-hmm. to turn to the border, because we're going to run out of time in this block. Is it your assessment that we now not only have essentially no border with Mexico any longer, but that among those who have come across that border, by some estimates, 10 million people, are large numbers of fighting-aged men from jihadist countries and communist China?
Yes, the administration has helped 8 million illegals to enter our country illegally, obviously, the 8 million illegal aliens that have surrendered to Border Patrol for all the free stuff. Among those, we catch about 100 highly dangerous individuals with terrorist ties, gang membership, criminal backgrounds, trafficking, what have you. But then there's the 2 million known, acknowledged by this Department of Homeland Insecurity, gotaways, 2 million, which are the really dangerous ones because they don't surrender for all of the free stuff.
Yes, think about that. 100 million that we have caught. 100 million crossing the border, and these are dangerous guys. The gotaways are estimated at 2 million crossing our border. These are enemies of our state. They're not coming here for money. They're not coming here for a better life. They're coming here to attack us at some point in time. It's their only purpose. And the proof is that they would check in and get all the free stuff, but they're not checking in, getting cell phones and free airplane rides. They're not doing that. They're going and avoiding that stuff because they're here on a whole nother purpose. And we know what the other purpose is, to set up an attack against America. It's the only other purpose it could be when you think about it logically. Here's more.
And point being, we just a couple of days ago arrested, thankfully we captured him, a Lebanese illegal alien who had worked for Hezbollah for 7 years and said he was on his way to New York City to make a bomb. So if he's among the those who are apprehended and surrender, how many highly dangerous individuals might be among those who pay extra? They pay the cartels more to evade apprehension because of what they're trafficking or what their background is, or they're afraid of being vetted. Irreparable harm has been done, and never in the history of the country has our own president done more to intentionally harm the United States than what the president has done on the border over these last 3 years.
Yeah, it's terrible. We have the enemy within working with the enemies from without, and they're going to their own destruction. And all I can say is spiritual blindness. There was a lot more, and we'll pick it up in segment two, because, well, let's just jump right into it. Take a listen.
Well, I appreciate you being a leader on this issue and helping inform members of Congress to take action on this over the past years. You've been at the tip of the spear in the fight on this, Frank. But I think it's the most important, least talked about issue, kind of getting lost in the other fights as we've addressed the border and the spending and some of the other sort of immediately pressing issues that people are more aware of. But the WHO, the World Health Organization, which has been demonstrated to be a tool of communist China, thankfully previous President Trump recognized their unworthiness and defunded and withdrew from WHO. But then, of course, Biden, as soon as he got in office, reconnected us, re-enrolled us, began to fund again the WHO, who was then demonstrated to have been, again, a tool of China hiding their biological warfare with the COVID virus, parroting their response measures that were obviously caused more deaths and more tragedy across the country. And worse yet, or equally as bad, certainly, this administration, the Biden administration, intends, as you well know, to surrender our national sovereignty to the WHO in terms of an agreement that they don't want to call a treaty because they don't want the Senate to have to approve it, but a treaty essentially that would say that when there's a declared by the WHO, determined by the WHO, some kind of a crisis, whether it's the next health crisis, whether it is something else they deem a crisis like climate crisis or so-called gun violence crisis or a poverty crisis or anything that they were to deem a crisis. And then we would be at their mercy if the Biden administration has its way, that they would tell us what's required of us to respond according to their wishes to this crisis that they've declared for us. What a terrible violation of our constitutional duty as sworn elected officials to defend the Constitution, to defend the American people. And so we've got to get the word out. We've got to defeat this effort that we expect. And I think it's 66 days or so from now. Mm-hmm.
Now you might say, that's so unconstitutional. So unconstitutional, there's no way they could get away with it. But not in this day and age. The rule of law is completely thrown out. You can't trust that they will even follow the Constitution. I don't think we're going to make it that far to where that becomes an issue and you're having constitutional fights. I don't think... That's not going to be something that I think we need to be concerned about, because there are way more dangers leading up to this than that. One more cut. Take a listen.
What do you say, Congressman Good, to those who say, well, this simply can't happen? I mean, obviously, for all the reasons you've mentioned, it's unconstitutional. So either the Senate of the United States will prevent these treaties from, and there really are two treaties, actually, International Health Regulations Amendments process, as well as this pandemic treaty, or the Supreme Court will block the application of this. Not to worry, it's in somebody else's hands. We don't have to defund the World Health Organization, which is one of the issues in this bill, as you know.
Well, I would point out two things to that response. Number one, there are many other things that have happened in just the last 3 or 4 years that we could not have imagined just a few years ago. We couldn't have imagined what the federal government did to trample on basic fundamental constitutional freedoms in the name of the virus to try to keep us safe, so to speak, allegedly, or the weaponization of the government against its citizens or against political opponents, the two-tier justice system where there's disparate treatment based on which side of the political aisle you might be on, the attacks on conservatives, whether it's pro-life protesters, parents at school board meetings, Christians practicing their faith, or people just buying items from a gun store or a sporting goods store or what have you.
Hold on. I want to touch on what he's saying there. The two-tier trust system is a huge issue, and we can't move forward as a country with a two-tier justice system. You have no country when you have what we're facing, the two-tier justice system. Our states that are super liberal have figured out that they can just act like their own little country in a way, which you would think wouldn't be a bad thing, but with the left, it's completely bad because they're just saying, you know what? We're just going to ignore the Constitution. We had the Constitution to protect us, but we're just going to do what we want to do. It's awful what we are facing. I'll go back to Bob Good. Take a listen.
There are so many things that we couldn't have imagined just recently, the loss of faith and trust in our integrity of our election systems and so forth. So I don't think it's much of a stretch to say there are things that we couldn't have imagined happening just a few years ago. Secondly, constitutionally, we are so far away from adherence to our constitutional limitations, the limitations of the federal government. Matter of fact, in a hearing this morning, I challenged my Democrat colleagues. It was an Ed and Workforce Committee hearing where we were talking about Biden trying to reclassify all gig workers, all independent contractors as employees. So that way they would have to get paid an hourly wage and they'd be eligible to unionize and so forth. And I said, how have we gotten to the point where we're allowing the federal government to tell us what we must or must not do? And I challenged any Democrat in the room to tell me what the 9th or the 10th amendments said, two of the most important but underappreciated amendments, which of course limit the power of the federal government and empower the people in the states. So we're so far away from that. So it's not much of a stretch to think that the Biden administration and Democrats in general would compromise our constitutional limitations of the federal government even further than they have so far to this point.
It's horrible what we are facing, but I want to move on. I want to squeeze in one more cut with Frank Gaffney, who was joined by Reggie Littlejohn. And I want you to hear what she had to say. Take a listen.
Right. This is truly frightening. And so then the other piece of the digital gulag is the digital ID, which you will need to be in good standing. In other words, you need to have had every vaccine, every other medication that they want you to have, and not be criticizing them, not be, you know, promoting misinformation or disinformation, and then you can live a normal life. But if you rebel in any kind of way, if you resist, they can shut you out from your credit cards, your bank accounts, your ability to vote, your ability to travel. Basically, every aspect of civilized life. So that's the enforcement.
And in the process, they're also going to be presumably accumulating other kinds of information about you, which would also lend itself to that social credit system of China, the China model in another respect, no?
Right. So they are sort of marketing this as, oh, it's going to be so convenient because you can basically do everything on this with this digital ID. And what they're not saying is, and we're going to be surveilling everything you do. And if we don't like what you're doing, we're going to cut you off so you can't do anything.
Well, what is she describing there? The mark of the beast system. Clearly the mark of the beast system trying to be set up. But America does not look like it's going to be able to survive when that is fully implemented. They're going to want to implement it, but I don't believe the plan is to bring America in to the one world government. I think the plan is to destroy America. And then you have the easy pathway in their mind of having the one world government take over. So it's amazing that we are living biblical prophecy, because that's really what I'm hearing here. Is biblical prophecy, but it's not being talked about that it's biblical prophecy. It's just being talked about as just regular news almost. Here's a little more.
So
this is really chilling. Reggie, there's one other aspect of this that featured in our webinar. Please, folks, go to presentdangerchina.org and check out this Fall into Tyranny webinar we just did with Reggie Littlejohn and others. Meryl Nass was one of our guests. Dr. Meryl Nass is a great leader of our Sovereignty Coalition. Her website, doortofreedom.org, is also a great resource. Talk about one of the things that she's concluded about this, well, I don't know how else to describe it. It's the kind of clearinghouse of information that the World Health Organization wants to have for any kind of toxic, deadly pandemic quality virus or pathogen. And its purpose is to apparently not only know about it and thereby control it, but also to spread knowledge around the world about it. What has Meryl Nass concluded is the ulterior motive behind all that?
Well, I mean, she brought it up yesterday. I'm looking right here at the latest draft of the pandemic treaty, and I'm looking at Article 12, access and benefit sharing. So what they're basically saying is when a party, that's a nation, has access to a pathogen with pandemic potential, it shall share with the WHO any pathogen sequence information as soon as it is available to the party. Okay. So what that's saying is basically if somebody discovers or creates a pathogen with pandemic potential, they have to put it into a WHO database immediately to be shared worldwide. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Right. All it takes is one person, one evil person, to have access to that database to launch biological warfare on the rest of humanity.
Folks, it's unbelievable. It really is. If you don't think we're living in the end times, I don't know what I can do to convince you. You need to get right with God. You need to recognize the times that you are in. We're not even pounding what is happening with Israel. This is just us, our destruction. And it's, oh, folks, get right with God. That's all I can tell you to do. You need to get right with God and make sure that you know that He is the only way. Jesus is the only way. No man comes to the Father except through Him. And have you repented? Have you given your life over to God? When is there not a better chance than right now? There won't be a better chance. So do it. Don't put it off. I love you guys. See ya.
Hey, old peeps. Like and subscribe to my father's channel. Bye. Ow.
Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing in my show, you need to check out one of the other great shows from thenewamerican.com, and that is Behind the Deep State with Alex Newman. Have you checked it out yet? If you haven't, you will love it. If you like me, for sure, you're going to love Alex Newman as he gets deep into Behind the Deep State and all the shadiness, of course, that we know is going on. Awesome interviews. I mean, just massive information. And you really can't find a better dive into the deep state than what Alex Newman does. So go check it out at thenewamerican.com.